I don't get this at all. I thought Lopan...
Shut up, Mr. Burton. You are not brought upon this world to get it.
Come on, Lopan is like...
Nothing you can understand. There are many mysteries, many unanswerable questions, even in a life as short as yours.
Yeah, well, the way I see it doesn't mean we shouldn't ask.
You think you got any thug in you?
Mugs, pugs, thugs. Litwits, halfwits, dimwits.
We're not intimidated by thugs.
But Bud White is a valuable officer.
White's a mindless thug.
Thug means never having to say you're sorry.
It was one of those things that was just perfection in every way. Oh, I hope you don't mind. You were out of toilet paper, so I just used a hand towel.
It's fine.
Okay, cool. Nicole won't mind.
No,
she knows. She knows how she goes. Hello, he is Clarkson. I am Jim. We are the Film Thugs.
All the time,
24/7. Now, before we get really in earnest underway, I have here a glass of what's called the Angel's Envy. It's a bourbon that is regular aged, and then finished in port wine barrels. This is a gift from Phil. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you, Phil.
So let's see how this tastes.
Sláinte.
That is mild but nice.
Nice.
And it's smooth.
It fools
as shit.
You like it's going to be nothing, and then gives you just a little bit at the end.
Yeah, yeah. That's one's all nice. About the finish. It's. Yeah, and the thing is, I don't even know what it's called, but I don't know why it got the name, but here's my reasoning. Here's what I think. It's called Angel's Envy. When normally in distillation, when they're aging whiskey, they put it in oak barrels. And even though it's in there for, you know, sealed for like 20 years, eventually shit evaporates out of it.
Yeah, the angel's share.
Yeah, the angel's share. And I am wagering that, well, this is what the angels couldn't get because right at that point we moved on, thus Angel's Envy.
I think that's a fine theory,
yes.
But I think what's closer to the truth is it was a bourbon made by David Boreanaz in his angel costume.
Nice. Hey, I'll take it.
So there's also an Angelus Envy. Yeah, that makes you want to kill people.
Nice.
There he is.
Yeah.
That's David Boreanaz, by the way.
God damn it, baby, you know I ain't lying to you. I'm only going to tell you one time.
You listen to this and you realize, I'm sorry, real quick, just so that we're clear of what just happened to me.
That dog is kind of an a-hole.
Both of the dogs just jumped on me while I was doing that.
Yeah.
I realize David Lee Roth just made millions of dollars kind of babbling syllables.
And if anybody else can do that, you'll be a genius too.
Exactly, yeah. I look at that like, holy shit, I don't...
Excellent.
Well played, sir. Other
people have made whole careers by being cute and saying yummo.
Yeah, yeah. She's like an ape. Yeah.
My brother had the biggest crush on her for the longest time. And then for some reason, as if he was looking for an out. So, well, she has a show now on network television. It's not cooking. It's like a talk show like Oprah.
Uh-huh.
That was it.
Oh, wow.
Broke the spell.
Sam is a fickle.
Like Drew Barrymore and Tom Green.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Sam is a fickle young man. I will say that. He is a very fickle young man.
Yes.
Speaking of, did you watch the premiere of The Taste?
I did.
The new guy, I like him.
He is a bad motherfucker.
Yeah, and I said, he's won some awards six times. And then I mentioned to Hope later, he's like, yeah, six beard awards. And she was like, what?
Apparently, at some point, someone questions his authority on the subject. He says something about the true test of knowing food is James Beard Award. I have six of them.
Well, no. What he said there, he and I think it was Ludo picked somebody, and he looked at the woman and he goes, "The Beard Awards are like the Academy Awards for cooking. I have six of them. You should be on my team."
Right.
All that I would say, if I had to choose on that, did the guy who got all four of them to say yes, like, and he was like, "I want all four of them to say yes." I was stunned, but what he made was basic enough that everyone could like it.
That one poor bastard that made the deconstructed watermelon whatever last year.
The deep-fried watermelon and the deconstructed caprese salad.
It's not, the show's not called The Technique.
No.
Pretty simple.
Ludo.
Stop cooking with your head, man.
Ludo spit it out. And what's funny was Nigella's like, this just reminds me of the fried watermelon guy last year. What I would do if I ever had to pick, I'd be like, Nigella, would you be okay with me boisterously and flagrantly flirting with you?
Should be fine.
Constantly. Okay. Whereas like, okay, Nigella, I am going to be trying to fuck you from the minute I get in the kitchen till the end of this show. Are you okay with that? And she'd probably be like, well, of course, darling.
Yeah, of course.
I'd want an articulate, sensitive man who could whoop that ass.
Well, that's what she wants.
This reminds me. So on Grand Theft Auto 5, which I've been playing too goddamn much of online, really, because it's a lot of fun. It's a whole lot of fun. I'm trying to learn how to drift. And that shit is hard.
Tokyo Drift?
Yes. Oh, yeah. By the by, I bought that the other night just because I was drunk enough. I'm like, I'm going to watch this. That of all, and I'm saying this, even in the lens of a Fast and Furious movie, Tokyo Drift is fucking nonsense. It is goddamn what?
Is there any connection to it, or is it more like a Halloween 3 Season of the Witch situation?
No, what it is, it's technically has not occurred yet. Because there's a character who pops up in that named Han, who's the Korean, the Asian guy, the Korean guy.
Okay.
He dies in Tokyo Drift. Okay. And then he's back for all the rest of them in between, making Tokyo Drift, basically the way that happened is Fast 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, Tokyo Drift, then 7. That's the time. Because they worked his death into the last Fast and Furious movie. He was killed while racing. His car got, like, T-boned really fast and then blew up. At the end credits of Fast and Furious 6, spoiler alert, blah, whatever, they, you know, show Tokyo, and it's the race where Han dies.
Okay.
Recognize it? And there's a guy listening to the radio. It's like, we've got this car, starts driving, car gets T-boned, boom. Jason Statham gets out of the car, starts walking, picks his phone up. Dominic Toretto, yeah, I've been looking for you.
Oh.
It's the guy, because he is the brother of the bad guy in 6.
Okay.
So 7 is them dealing with him coming after them for killing his brother.
Ah,
so like yeah, they've worked in it. It's like kind of cool. So I'm down with this. I can get behind that. But speaking of the Tokyo Drift and all that, Keith Morris, formerly of Black Flag, is the DJ for the Channel X punk station.
Nice.
On that. No, it's not.
Oh.
He's fucking obnoxious. You know who the last host was?
No.
Iggy Pop.
Wow.
He was fucking amazing. This guy's like, we're doing, wake up, America. Oh, now it's time for you to be indoctrinated some more. And then it goes to commercials or, yeah, go out and live in suburbia. I want to punch a boy band in the face on principle. Fuck, I want to punch you in the face. And it's just, he sounds like an angry 20-year-old. And he's not.
Yeah, yeah.
He most assuredly is not that.
He's not 20, no. No, he's not.
This is a goddamn good bottle of bourbon. Thank you, Philip.
Well done, Ogden.
Yes.
It was Ogden, right?
It was Ogden.
Not the other Phil?
Yeah, no, not the other Phil. Ogden loves us more. But, yeah, I've just been fucking around online with that shit because it's a lot of fun. It is whatever you want it to be. I've got my cars maxed out because I met this dude online who's like, the only way you can get like the maximum car strength online is to win 50 races. That's the only way to unlock all of it.
Okay.
And I've been whipping ass on this one track, but it's, you know, hit or miss, all that. Log on in this guy, I hear my voice. I'm like, hey, dude, do you want to just do this track and trade off winning? Yes.
Sure.
We traded off winning until both of us had enough. Now, I was racing a guy today who I looked at. I was like, oh, you have 20 wins. I'm going to fucking destroy you. We start racing on this track. I know like the back of my hand, and he spins me out on a turn, and I lose. I lose the race bad. Going on the next one, and I'm staying neck and neck with him because he had the better starting position, so he's in front of me. Hit one turn, clipped him, and didn't spin him out, made him skid some, enough for me to pass him, and then I was like, fuck it. Vroom. Beat him by like 8 seconds.
Whoa.
Because I'm driving the Bugatti Veyron for that, at least. Yeah.
Yes.
And mine's pimped out beyond belief, so I'm just like, vroom.
Spookiest bit of car telly ever.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Is that Bugatti Veyron with, what's his name going through?
The guy doing that? I'm just
James May.
Dude, I'm wearing this goddamn...
Terrifying.
I'm wearing this thermal undershirt, and it's too goddamn hot, so now I'm shirtless.
Yeah.
I just have to put my hand on myself.
Woo.
And now the lesbian dog is staring at me. I don't know.
That dog is kind of an a-hole.
Yes, you little bitch. There you go.
Yeah.
But yeah, Keith Morse, it's so obnoxious. And you start thinking about, like, dude, when I was a teenager talking like this, I sounded like a douchebag. This guy's 50. He sounds like a massive douchebag is all that I'm thinking while listening to it. And it's over and over again, like, yeah, time to get indoctrinated by people throwing. You mean time for the people who are allowing you to do this for a living to have their 30 seconds?
The people paying you?
Yeah, the people who pay you. Because the station doesn't fucking pay you. The station's the middleman.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's just my old blah, blah, blah. Do you know that at this moment, at this point in time, there are two children in this country named Crimson Tide?
Because he's an asshole!
What?
There are two children. One of them is K-R-I-M-S-O-N-T-Y-D-E, and the other one is just Crimson Tide.
I prefer the second one.
Yes.
Just go
for it. Just regular, yeah. For those who are unaware, that is the nickname of the Alabama football team.
Yes.
Yes, the University of Alabama's football team. There are two children named Crimson. Whenever I hear about how, like, is it Sweden or Finland that's like, no, you cannot name your child that, I always feel that American in me is like, hey, motherfucker, fuck you, motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah. Well, exactly.
That American in me comes out. But then when I see some poor child who the rest of his life is going to be known as Crimson Tide.
That is not our problem.
Yeah, it's not my problem, but I just look at it like, damn.
That sucks.
That sucks for you, kid.
But, eh.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Have you heard what's happening with the Sriracha chili debacle?
Yes.
So apparently they said,
Sriracha apocalypse.
Yes, go ahead and keep making it. That's fine. And then the state comes in and goes, well, actually, it's a raw food. So we need to make sure that there's no. They change the rules. We need to make sure that there's no adverse effect. Here's how you know there's no adverse effect. It's been on sale for 30 fucking years.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry. Sorry about
that. That's how you know.
Yeah. It's fine. You know what? You'll pay less taxes in Texas. And we'd be happy to have you here. We got land for fucking days.
Maybe you like paying taxes.
Yeah.
In which case, you could take your sriracha stores and then take those to New York and go to the new lower rent apartment buildings they're building, lower income apartments they're building, where the biggest one for a family is 375 square feet. You should be fine.
370 square
feet. That's the big one.
Wow.
They go from 225, 250 up to 275, 375.
Jesus.
Because communism.
Hope and I are trying to buy a place that is small enough that we could build a 300 square foot thugatorium in the back of it. Because how much in Texas, how much would it cost to have a 350 square foot with a bathroom in it place built?
The bathroom would make it more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Not if you take out the bathroom, nothing at all, really.
Right. So if there is no bathroom, we're probably looking at something that would be under 10.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. With a bathroom, probably 10.
Yeah.
10 to 12. Okay.
Depending.
Mm-hmm. That's what our goal is, to find something where we're able to do that, because she has said if that happens, there's a thugatorium, in which case there will be off. If I can have a 300 square foot with a bathroom, how fucking crazy would that? That's the bar. There's my computer. Here's the table. There's the TV and couch.
Right. And that's it.
And do you know what our first progressive needs to be in the new place?
What's that?
No holds barbecue.
Oh, that is fine.
That
with me.
Needs to be. Oh, and of course, I
wasn't going to say no holds barred. That's fine too.
Oh, yes. Hi-ya. Ain't got nobody. I got no love.
What I love listening to John DiMaggio, who does the voice of Bender on podcasts, like listen to him on The Nerdist, because out of nowhere every once in a while, he'll be like, I live my life like this, not tomorrow. His imitation of that is good. His imitation of Barry White is fucking scary. Paul Quinn College. I'm Barry White. And
not
Paul
as, not
Quinn
as
College.
With Jane Curtin.
Okay. God damn, Billy West James Curtin is terrifying. Oh, man.
That is good, Phil.
Yeah, the sriracha chili shit freaks me out. Nowhere near as much as the fact that now a judge has said your laptop, phone, any of that can be opened up, turned on, and the files searched.
Yeah.
at Borders.
No problem.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter.
But, you know, hey, just so you guys are aware. So you guys are aware. And in other news, even though pot has been legal for 3 days, Colorado has not descended into the Mad Max type wasteland that we all kind of hoped it would.
You just wait.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be awful because kids are going to start using pot. Mm-hmm. Kids are going to start using pot.
I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen in the state of Colorado.
Mm.
I recently joined Pinterest, which is a fucking drug.
Yeah, so I understand.
The first thing I found on my food board, for my food board, was something called a pizza cone.
A pizza cone? You got
it's exactly
me.
What it sounds like. You the got look on me. Your face, same look I had on my face, the same look my wife had when I showed it to her. Yeah. You're like, what? Well, remember the pizza cup thing from The Jerk?
Yeah.
I'm like, God damn, it's a good idea.
Pizza cone. See, we went to that cone food place on one of the food truck things, and all that was food served in a fucking empty snow cone holder.
Yeah. That was a work. The pizza cone is a straight shoot.
All right.
Oh, my lord.
I got to look that up. So, wait, so you're on Pinterest?
Uh-huh.
How does Nicole feel about being in a lesbian marriage?
I don't know. But here we are.
Yeah, here we are. It's one where every dude I know who gets on Pinterest is like, no, this thing is fucking awesome.
It's amazing.
I just haven't done it because I got an iPad for work that I don't use. And when we go to bed, Hope uses it to look at houses in Pinterest. Have you ever looked at the program House, H-O-U-Z?
No.
It's like you can sort through all kinds of like badass designs. Mm-hmm. The home theater section alone I can look at for days because it's just like a place the size of this apartment with, you know, movie chairs and a bar and a popcorn maker in the back and just every, like, that's what I want. Hope was even talking about that if we built this place, like, find out what it would cost to dig a basement. Like, this is Texas. It'll cost a lot to dig a basement.
Yeah, a bit.
But I'm like, I want to turn I want to make a bat cave theater in the basement, but that's not going to happen. So
I think we all want that.
Speaking of theater, you have Amazon Prime, right?
I do.
There is apparently several seasons of a show called The French Chef that are available on Amazon Prime. Yes.
It's fabulous.
No, my sister was like, one of the first episodes, she shows you how to properly sharpen a knife and stuff like, yes. I thought of you. I almost texted you, but it's like, no, I'd rather have this on the show. Julia Child.
Put available. That on Amazon Prime so I can lose a whole weekend.
Yeah, that's how it does. Also, the taste, I forgot to mention my favorite line. The first thing that they ate, Tony Bourdain was like, is a hipster dish.
Only hipsters mess around with quail eggs.
It's quail egg. What's that? It's a hipster dish. Was that hipster?
Hipster dish.
Also, who the fuck in Hollywood is invested in Rebel Wilson being a huge star? Because I'm getting a little fucking tired of her being shoved down my throat. She's funny enough. But what the fuck? I genuinely, it's like Malcolm in the Middle. When it came out, somebody said, this is going to be big.
Someone is giving her a push.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know what it is.
It's not
but
organic.
She's goddamn
it's like
everywhere.
Pro wrestling. Like, well, you kind of work pretty good. So, all right.
Yeah. We're going to go ahead. You're going to be that. I don't get it. I don't have a problem with her, but I just don't understand it.
I don't know.
She's fat and in your face. So are we. Well, for a while, we were fat. And
well,
we were definitely
fat-ish.
More.
No, now.
Now we're fat.
No. Back then, no.
Back then we were fucking. Yeah. Back then we were. Woo! We were big old fatties.
I mean,
I'm like 50 pounds lighter than I was when we started recording this show.
Ooh,
so
wow.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I've hated my heart for who he is and what he does as a person.
If you haven't watched the
so
Onion
good.
Behind the scenes thing
I don't care. I'm not going to finish it.
It's a Wonderful Life. It's fucking great.
But Uncle Billy does. Why? Because he's an asshole.
He tees off on Uncle Billy. And when you think about it, it's like,
you know the weight of $8,000 in your hand?
Yeah. There's weight to it. And he just hands it to this guy.
That's good.
Did you hear that the Wolf of Wall Street now holds the record for the most fucks?
Yeah.
2.8 times per minute. 506 fucks in 180 minutes.
Wow.
Here's what gets me about it.
That's
is
like our show.
Yeah. Our first few, at least. Yeah. I think we put that shit to shame in our first show.
Probably.
Here's the thing. Everyone's like, oh, well, it's just a picture of this, blah, blah, blah. Somebody put out the best line I've ever heard. Yeah, it's a good movie about a bad person.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because people are complaining that, well, the guy is such a dick. Yeah. They aren't trying to make him seem like anything but a dick.
I've heard the criticism that, well, it glorifies this and it glorifies that, and people look to the... That's not the movie's fault.
No.
That people are screwed in the head.
Dude, it's not the movie's fault that making $50 million a year would lead to a pretty fucking badass life. Because here's the thing.
If you're a bad person and you have $50 million, you're going to do bad things.
Yeah.
Expensive bad things.
Mm-hmm. Dude, if I made $50 million a year, first off, this would be on a television network somewhere.
Yeah, well, you just pay for it.
Yeah, I just put it on there. Put it on.
Do it.
Serious.
It on.
What does it cost for us to be on your network? Here.
At this point?
Yeah.
We'd actually get paid.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not the one. How much longer is Stern going to be on that?
I don't know.
Because he is pretty... I haven't listened to it for ages. They keep calling me and asking me to sign
up.
Oh,
yeah.
For it.
They'll follow you to the ends of the earth. I just tell them on the phone. Yeah. Do not contact.
Yeah, a woman called me. I said, look, I didn't turn it on for a year. Well, actually 6 months. I didn't listen to it for 6 months. So yeah, I'm good. I'm not interested. Thanks. Okay. Thanks. Well, even for a special deal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Even for that.
I mean,
I love Howard Stern to death, but I can't justify this.
But
anymore.
Here's how I look at it. And this is me giving Sirius
love you, buddy.
Gift. If Sirius were to come out and say, okay, this next month is going to be Howard's last month on the radio. For $50, you can have Sirius for that month, just for Howard's final month on the radio. Would you do it?
No.
No. Really? I'd consider it just because it's like, you know, for the end, $40.
Maybe.
Yeah. See, I mean, that range.
I don't know.
I'd be in the conversation just because it's like, I'd love to be able to hear him sign off for the last time.
Yeah, that would be cool.
But other than that, it's like, I'm not going to pay for a year's worth of something I don't fucking use.
No.
It's stupid.
It is stupid. And Eddie Trunk shows up.
He does.
Sometimes. On the metal show. Stuff. Whatever channel it is.
Stop him! He's got my pen!
Is he
Canadian? Just kidding, Eddie. I love you.
Because
you're listening.
It's time to turn your rock and roll dreams into rock and roll reality. When we used to sit up and watch VH1 Metal Mania,
oh yeah,
beginning to end, how many times he would come on with the Guitar Hero guitar with a working whammy bar. No, it's not. First off, it's an SG. They can't have whammy bars on them because the body's too thin.
Well, now they can.
Now they can to turn your rock and roll dreams into rock and roll.
You can get this with a matching Cherokee shirt from Target.
And Eddie a Trunkage. Free bucket of corn dogs.
Yes.
Did you see that they've come out, Gibson or Fender, I forget which company has made this auto-tuning thing that basically you replace your tuning pegs,
uh-huh.
And it's got this thing on the back of it where you hit like standard tuning, strum it, and it tunes it.
What?
Hit open A, strum it, and it tunes it. I kind of like it. But it's like $300 for one.
How'd it feel about that?
It sounds badass, doesn't it?
That would, well, for a working musician.
Yeah.
That would, yeah.
Bring, now it's a G.
So like 20% will go to working musicians.
Yeah.
And the rest will be, you know, just
a jack off like me who's like, yeah. I don't want to tune my guitar. No.
I don't have time for this.
I hate it so much. See, I don't play my guitar enough to justify that. But when the move happens, I'm going to try and get some more, you know, I'm going to over the year try and save up and get like a lap steel, mm-hmm. and a 6-string banjo, 12-string guitar, and a bass.
Nice.
So, you know, all of that, 4 instruments, I'm talking like maybe $500 because yes. I'm looking at cheap shit. I ain't playing on stage.
And then the Wasp cover band.
It's an acoustic Wasp cover band.
There's only that kind.
Yes. I'm going to get an acoustic bass. I love when people are like, oh, it's an acoustic electric. You mean it's an acoustic? No, it's an acoustic electric.
No.
No, it's an acoustic with a pickup in it. Yeah.
Oh, shush.
But it's not electric at all. Sorry.
Sorry.
Solo body electric is all that matters. And then this show is going to be so obnoxious because it's going to be like, have guitars and harmonicas plugged in. It's like, wah! Oh, yeah.
That would be
the whole show is just going to be designed to
terrify.
Take that fucking harmonica. take her down to the parking lot, man.
Oh, okay.
Whoa, what is that from?
Well, funny you should ask. Yes. It gets to our topic.
Ah.
Were actors.
I like it.
Unlikely actors.
Yes, unlikely actors. These are people who start out. And I've actually found that it is athletes, comedians, and musicians mostly.
Yeah, I stayed away from the comedians because we covered a lot of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the ones that matter.
What got me with that is it's like, you know, Will Ferrell. No, Will Ferrell was not a stand-up. He was an actor who went from sketch to features.
Comedic actor, yeah.
Yeah, comedic actor. We're not talking about, like, you know, Dennis Leary or Jamie Foxx who started out doing stand-up and switched.
No.
So we're going to look mostly at athletes, musicians, and then I have others.
Others, yes.
Where there's just a couple of people who've changed it. Like, have you ever seen the movie The Killing Fields?
Yes.
Hang S. Noir, the Vietnamese man who's in that. First movie he was ever in.
Oh, wow.
I think he won the Oscar for it.
Wow.
He was a physician. He was actually Cambodian. Mm-hmm. A physician from Cambodian who survived the Khmer Rouge had to let his wife die in childbirth because had he saved her, they would have known he was an intellectual. They both would have been killed as well as the baby. Yeah. 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 Things have happened in this world.
I don't want to do war.
Yeah.
What was that from?
That's from the King High Emperor of Ware Actors, Dennis Rodman.
Rodman. Oh, fuck.
He lost power. He lost control because of his, you know, dad and stuff like that. But he's a great guy. He's just a great guy. If you sit down and talk to him, you know, perception is perceiving how things
work. A great guy who puts 200,000 people in prison camps?
Well, you know, and guess what? It's amazing how we do the same thing here. Mm.
The amazing guy who had his, was it uncle, fed two dogs while he was still alive?
I don't want to do war.
That's not the greatest Dennis Rodman quote ever.
Oh, no. There are a lot.
The greatest Dennis Rodman quote ever you probably couldn't find. It's where he's talking about his marriage to Carmen Electra. Someone asks, well, what did you guys do? Well, we were in the hotel room, and she masturbated me with her hand.
I will have that by next week.
She masturbated me with her hand.
I think you and Glenn Danzig have a same grasp on masturbation.
Oh, my God.
To get that joke, reference Bullet.
Yes. Nice. Texas is the region. I forget where I was the other. Oh, yeah. We went to Crowbar for my friend, my friend's wedding reception.
Nice.
And walking in, first thing comes on is Danzig. And then there's like Iron Maiden and all this. I'm like, okay, I kind of like this bar.
Oh, it's a good one.
And they sell sausage in the back.
Ah,
they got a sausage van in the back. We can buy sausage.
Nice. Crowbar was definitely made for smokers.
Yeah. Did you buy a sausage?
No. I was still smoking at the time.
Thousands.
So all I needed was booze and tobacco.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still, how long have you been smoke free now?
Almost 2 years.
God damn. That's shocking to me.
It's weird.
It's weird. It really is.
It's weird.
You were the hard smoking guy.
I enjoyed my cigarettes.
I still remember when I went out with a woman once and I remember telling you about the next day. It's like, I woke up the next morning with a hangover. I smelled like cigarette smoke in Halston. And you were like, did you feel your face for the beard? Because that basically was you from age 16 till...
A while.
Yeah. But there's nothing wrong with that at all. With my others, I also have, in addition to Hang S. Noir, Harold Russell, who was the vet who lost both of his hands in World War II and played a vet who lost both of his hands in the movie The Best Years of Our Lives, where he won a special Academy Award for bringing hope and courage to his fellow veterans through his appearance in the film The Best Years of Our Lives.
So take that, Audie Murphy.
Yeah.
Other unlikely actor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But well done.
Yeah, but it was showing like the struggles that folks like that went through. And there was like this horrifying, like not horrifying, but just heartbreaking scene where like neighborhood kids are kind of looking through the window and laughing and he goes around and he's like, what do you want to see? And breaks his hands through the window, the hooks through the window. And this poor little girl is there. He's like, I'm sorry, I didn't. And she's just in tears and he feels this shame. But at the same time, it's like,
I don't know.
This guy's broken. And oh, by the way, it's a downer, but there's a documentary James Gandolfini produced and was in for HBO called War Torn. Mm-hmm. And it is following what was once known as combat fatigue, then became shell shock, then became PTSD.
Right.
And going through, like, you know, talking to, you know, seeing how the military basically is like, you're fine. No, I'm really kind of screwed up. No, you're not.
It's fine.
You're fine. No, no, no. I'm shaking and I'm terrified everywhere I am. And I said, no, you're not.
No, no. Rub some dirt on it. Get back to the game.
Exactly. It's really quite fantastic. It's sort of like when Patrick Stewart was talking about the charity he does for abused women, and mm-hmm. he talked about seeing it from his father. And that is one of the most incredible things ever, yeah. where he's like, it is never okay. But then he goes, I realized that my father had shell shock, where back then it was, pull yourself together, man.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Like, yes, you've literally just come. Like, my grandfather, I am.
On top of quiet desperation.
Yes. My grandfather, German immigrant, joined the U.S. Army as soon as World War II started, landed at the beach at Anzio as part of Operation Casino, and was like the only member of his troop that made it back.
Wow.
And my dad, you know, talking about him now, is like, yeah, that dude was PTSD'd out the ass when he mm-hmm. came back. But you're German, you suck it up. And the military's right. like, all right, well, back to well normal done. Life. You're no longer having to pull off, but you're no longer having to climb out from underneath a pile of your friends' bodies. So you're going to be fine now.
You'll be just fine.
Yes.
You're the limit, sir.
You are. In my others, I have John Hamm, who was a high school theater teacher for a little while, and Ellie really? Kemper, the redhead who was on The Office, who was the little redhead in Bridesmaids.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
One of his students for a year, evidently.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. And Gerard Butler was a lawyer before he became an actor.
Huh.
I learned that on Stern.
No shit.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Christopherson, that's another one.
Yeah. Oh, that one blows my. Because what do we? Because he was West Point.
He was offered not only that. Yeah, he was offered a teaching yeah. position at West Point.
Offered a teaching gig at West Point, but he'd rather. I'm going to go to Austin and.
I want to drive a truck and
sing,
do this,
and just churn out kids,
and want to write really, 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 really good songs.
Mm-hmm.
Really good. Won't be able to sing them so much.
Yeah. But write these shits.
Man, yeah. Wait till they get a load of me.
I forgot who it was. I think it was Willie Nelson who said something about Chris. Like, yeah, imagine if you'd been good looking. Because Chris Christopherson, he's got some plastic at work done, but he was like this good looking, former military, amazing songwriter, great performer, gifted actor.
Shows up in the outlaw country movement, carved out of marble.
Yeah.
With yep. graying beard just so.
Uh-huh.
Shut up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
get the
just,
fuck out of the way. What are you supposed to do? What's Waylon supposed to do?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got a little Coke bloat, you know? Eating some ribs down on fucking South First.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God damn it, Chris.
Yeah.
The best thing from the documentary about the Highwaymen.
Uh-huh. There's a documentary about the Highwaymen?
It's like a little, it's just not a full documentary, just behind the scenes.
Okay.
Chris feels a certain way mm-hmm. politically and culturally, and Waylon felt a different way.
Right.
And there's just a little snippet of them all sitting around talking and drinking coffee or whatever.
Yeah.
And Chris is saying, well, Waylon, what about France? I mean, what about the culture and the music and the history and the food? And Waylon kind of considers it, looks at him and goes, yeah, fuck all that.
That yeah, that's actually
or maybe he didn't say exactly that, but you get my drift.
Yeah, it's not that far off. Hold on, I'm trying to find the perfect line.
And when I reach
oh,
the
damn
other
it.
Side,
and of course the fucking thing locks and won't let me scrub. Hang on, what I'm waiting for is this. This is the conversation I wish I'd been in on.
I fly a starship. Across the universe divide.
Yeah, why not?
Sure, you're Johnny Cash. You wanted to...
What are you going to do, Jay? Starship.
Oh. And now everyone else in the group is like, fuck, we're all legends, but he's fucking Johnny Cash.
Yeah, galactic legend. Plus Starship.
Oh, man. That...
I'm a dam builder.
That's a good song, man. You got some good shit. But yeah, that outlaw country music... So and good. People don't realize that no, Chris Christopherson went to West Point and yeah. was distinguished enough in the military that they wanted him to go back and teach there.
Yeah.
wrap your head around that when you hear.
That's not his fault.
Yeah, it's my impression of Janis Joplin.
Here's another one. Janis's son. Yeah, okay. For Tom Kiefer, this is still relatively straight.
Where is it?
Wait, no. I'm just giving you an example. This is all pretty straight. It's the second verse.
Chill out, man. Yeah, that's one of those. Being from Austin and being like, I kind of like a couple of Janis Joplin songs, but I don't think she has a very good voice. You do not say that out loud in certain parts of this city.
No.
You don't.
You don't. Keep it to yourself.
Yeah. Hater, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. You don't want the Stasi coming after you.
Yeah, because they'll lose
their will.
Shit, man.
Like, they used a passionate singer.
Yeah.
She's soulful. Winky face.
Yeah. They used to do a commercial for Threadgills where it was one of the Threadgill guys who's like, Janis found out she put some makeup on. She didn't look that bad. Really? Really? Saying, you know. Tom Kiefer's ugly. I'm just showing that I'm not being single-sided with my application of aesthetic beauty here. But yeah, that.
Unlike the beauty of Mick Jagger.
Oh, from fucking Free Jack, yo.
What the? What?
He is a.
Were you just hanging around?
Yeah. Yeah, it just seemed like, use him. Why not? You've heard the rumor. I forget if it was the Rolling Stones or the Clash that, like, originally Martin Scorsese wanted to make Clockwork Orange and put, like, cast the fucking Clash or the Rolling Stones. I forget which one, as the Droogs. Would have been a goddamn mess.
That's a fine idea on paper. Yeah. That's a fine idea if you're rolling up a character in punk Dungeons and Dragons. And that's the dungeon you'll be in is
I want John. I want my character is Joe Strummer in a bowler hat.
Yes, and he has
and a cod piece.
20 strength and an 18 charisma. Mm. And his best friend's a Weemic. D&D fans just wait.
Yeah, I don't. He knows me. You just said ha ba 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 ba. Yeah.
Make your save against breath weapons.
Jesus Christ. Fireball. Lightning bolt. Wow.
No sense.
Yeah. Mick Jagger's one of those guys that he's a good singer, decent singer.
Great performer.
Great performer. Even then, he gets a little spazzy for me.
Well, he's spazzy, but motherfucker goes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, trying to explain to someone where it's like, no, they don't play many live shows. Why not? Because it takes a week to build their stage.
Yeah. There's what? That.
It takes a week. And it has ever since Steel Wheels.
Yeah.
I mean, since the fucking late 80s, they have been rolling with, we're going to charge a lot for tickets, but you're don't worry. Every cent of it is going to be on the fucking stage.
You'll be fine.
You'll enjoy.
Only one who performs harder would be Mr. Iggy Pop.
Oh, yeah.
Aforementioned.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, my.
That dude doesn't know when to stop. It's because, and I don't know if I've given you this, my theory on it before, but Henry Rollins talked about trying to compete with Iggy Pop.
No.
Here's my theory on it. Rollins is a good performer.
Oh, yeah.
But he's the guy who married the prom queen, and he still loves her, but it's just, Iggy met a girl in kindergarten that he has been in love with his whole life, and the minute they turned 18, they got married, and every morning he wakes up and looks at her and goes, God damn, I love being with you. That is Iggy with performing.
Yeah.
Henry married the prom queen and is good and still likes, but for Henry, it's performance. For Iggy, he gets on stage and comes alive. And that's something that sounds weird until you meet, like, that was you and I back in high school during our theater days. We were gregarious and all that, but once we hit a character and got on stage, that was when I came to life, because that's where I felt what I loved the most. And Henry Rollins is another one who's become an actor.
Indeed.
Standing sideways and owns a surf shop. And
hey, either way.
Makes veggie burritos.
No, not anymore.
Of course not. You know who people often now forget? Some kids don't even realize was a musician originally. Musician in air quotes. Mark Wahlberg.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
Indeed. He was a musician.
Yes.
Of sorts.
Of sorts, yes. And then, boy, goddamn, he's a player now.
No one saw that coming. No one. That was like Justin Timberlake and it's turn your head around.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, like Wahlberg didn't just hit because, like, for a while he was Marky Mark or Donnie Wahlberg from NKOTB's little brother.
Right.
And then he exploded. And now Donnie's making a bit of a resurgence through some. Did you see him making out with Jenny McCarthy on New Year's Rockin' Eve?
I did.
I've.
Like, before and later. Yes, we know, Donnie.
Let's.
About half an hour from now. Yeah, we know.
Let's talk.
You're going to have sex with Jenny McCarthy.
Yeah.
We got
you. Yeah, we got you.
Sure.
Let's talk Jenny McCarthy for a moment, because she is, again, then became an actress, because she was known for her much, her a skill she had a higher mastery of, which is showing her boobs.
I'll say.
She, back when we were in high school, was like the Michael Jordan of showing her boobs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Outstanding. Great. The whole wacky thing gets old quick. First off, we flip over to it, and suddenly Miley Cyrus is there dressed like a pimp from The 300, which is the only way to describe her. She was dressed like a Persian pimp from The 300.
I'm Xerxes.
Yes, she just looked and was giving the most off-key warbling performance I've ever heard in my life. It was bad. She was awful. And then they cut to Jenny McCarthy licking a sledgehammer. And it's like, there's a point where it's like, dear, stop.
Yeah.
Just stop.
I don't know. Between her and Debbie Harry. At least Debbie Harry's 69, so I get it.
Yeah. The statement I made, though, when it flipped over, I said, the minute that fucking stupid tongue comes out of her goddamn mouth, I'm turning the channel. Done. I'm sorry, girls. Sticking your tongue out makes you look like a fucking moron.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, unless you're 5, sticking your tongue out in pictures makes you look like you're trying to act 5. Stop it.
Yeah, should really stop that.
Fucking asshole.
I watched every minute of it.
Yeah?
I do, every year. I just forced myself through that awful New Year's Eve television, because there's nothing like it. It's just so
It's awful. So bad. Yeah, we got as far into it as we possibly could.
Yeah.
And then we're just like, no.
We went all the way through the early stuff and that breaks for your local news.
Mm-hmm.
And then for an hour or so, they went to this Dallas production of New Year's Eve, which was straight up Telemundo as far as quality. Actually, no, it's an insult to Telemundo. It looked like.
So you were watching Estabido Gigante?
No, that's a good show.
Oh.
This is just really kind of a cheap.
There was no chess burrito in it or anything.
No. No jacal.
Damn.
Yeah. No Don Francisco.
An old man wearing glasses with fake freckles on and the little twirly hat and shorts. No,
regrettably,
of that.
No.
Yeah. Telemundo New Year's would probably be awesome.
I didn't even think about that.
God damn, that would probably be
bitch.
Epic. But yeah, then you go back and you get a rerun of the hour leading up to New Year's. I hit a point where I'm like, I just don't fucking care. Hope made me buy champagne. I almost bought a little bottle of Veuve Clicquot, but instead I bought an $11 bottle of champagne that was called the best bargain champagne out there. And I took a sip and was like, okay, I'm done. She's like, you don't want to have any more? I was like, you wanted me to have a champagne toast. I had a fucking champagne toast. Don't make me drink any more of this garbage.
I don't want any more of this crap.
Yes, we're done here.
Yeah, we had some champagne.
Cool.
French champagne.
Doesn't do anything? God damn. But yeah, the Marky Mark Wahlberg. People have forgotten about that. Kind of like Ice Cube and Ice Tea.
All the Ice Brothers.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around Ice Cube. Like, Ice Tea, yeah, he was the OG Godfather, all that, but he was also in Breakin'.
Yeah.
dance, party, dance, dance, and party, party down, party, dance. That's He's got those fucking ski goggles with the rhinestones on him. So I kind of knew. But Cube, do you remember when NWA hit?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone was scared to fucking death. Everyone was just like, what? And he was like the hardcore in that. Because like Eazy-E was sort of court jestery and just talking about fucking. Dre would come in a little hardcore because he had that voice. But Ice Cube was like the lead singer in the fucking angry category.
Consider a song like Slap a Ho, which you mentioned by the group Dub Shack, which touts the virtues of a machine that automatically smacks a wife or girlfriend into line.
I agree. That was hardcore.
It's a gangster party.
Picture perfect. I paint a picture, bomb the hoochies with precision. Ain't nothing but a gangster party.
Ain't nothing but a gangster party.
Sling a slong.
Not you.
yeah, he went from like the insane, like that shit when fucking Straight Outta Compton hit.
Oh yeah.
The white kids who pretended like they were into it, and the like. I always leaned a little more towards Public Enemy just because they were a little more fuck you to everyone.
Yeah.
And I could get down with that some.
Sure.
But listening to some of that now, it's not bad so far as rap goes. The way the music is put behind it is a whole hell of a lot better than most of the shit that's happening now.
Indeed.
Better than some 2 Chainz or some Trinidad.
Barbaric. Gold all in my ring. Barbaric. Gold all in my watch. Barbaric.
But Uncle Billy does. Why? Because he's an asshole.
Damn it. I didn't know what I was aiming for with that.
Well, that's another one. Yeah. He's someone who found his way into acting. Mr. Whataburger himself.
He's only been in a handful. Well, actually,
there's a lot of straight-to-video stuff.
Yeah.
But...
Well, WWE started making movies. Yeah. Yeah. And for a little bit, they realized the money was in John Cena.
There for a little bit. Before they started making John Cena films, they decided, okay, we'll produce one hard R.
Yeah, that was that
movie.
That was
The Condemned.
The Condemned.
Which I really enjoyed.
Yeah, I really enjoyed too, but boy, there was an implied rape scene in it that was the most like disturbing shit ever.
Where are you from? Back in the States then, huh?
Alaska.
Alaska? Whereabouts?
About 80 miles north of Anchorage. A little fishing town, you probably heard of it. It's called Fuck Your Mama.
Nice.
There's a lot of really nice little exchanges.
That is cool.
Vinny Jones, in particular.
Yeah.
Quite good.
Yeah.
And what is wrong with you? All in a day's work, Rasta. It's really, really good.
He does not fuck about.
No.
But yeah, those two were the ones who really broke out. See, when I first heard that there was a movie called The Hebrew Hammer starring Adam Goldberg, I was like, oh, that Adam Goldberg.
Oh, yeah. Because
if it had been Goldberg.
Goldberg waited till the Santa movie.
Yeah.
Where he was a killer, I think, or something. And then a Universal Soldier when he was in WCW, I believe, or Universal Soldier 2 or 3 or some shit.
Yeah.
And then wound up, I guess the biggest one he did was The Longest Yard.
He was
one of the cops.
Yeah.
Guards.
What I remember, the only thing I knew about wrestling was he was one of those that wasn't straight planned to become the big thing, but just people really fucking liked him. There was some work for it, but people
That was pretty much... there's a big bald guy over there on this other company really kicking a lot of ass.
Right.
And we need to have a bulldozer because everything over here is all NWO stuff.
Right.
And they needed something to come through and really...
Yeah.
The big unstoppable wrestler. They do that every once in a while.
Uh-huh.
And he was one of those... It's not very often, but they threw him in there. There were reports, and I don't know this for a fact, but there was pumped... cheers
right.
for Goldberg through some auditoriums because he wasn't over everywhere.
Right, uh-huh.
But he did have a hot streak.
Oh, yeah.
And a relatively small bag of tricks, but he got over.
I think I saw him once because I didn't watch wrestling much. And I flipped through once when he came out, and it was one of these matches that was like a real wrestling match. Mm. It was over in like 30 seconds. Yeah. He pinned the guy instantly, and it was like,
there is some story told in the back where he didn't want to do business for somebody, meaning he didn't want to do the job for somebody or lose to somebody.
Uh-huh.
And it turned into this big hullabaloo. Long story short, the story is, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, that Chris Jericho knocked him out. Chris Jericho is not a very big person.
No, he's not.
At least compared to Bill Goldberg.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently that was it.
Well, there was actually a thing that I saw. There's a cracked article about wrestling, WWE wrestling, mm-hmm. that was fascinating, where it talked about, I forget who it was, but it was a guy who was on one of the reality shows. And apparently Kurt Angle, I think it was Kurt Angle, was being an asshole for something where he like actually hurt one of the guys just to prove a point as being a dick. I don't know if it was Angle, it was somebody else. But this other guy's like, fuck it, I'll go next. And got him in a fucking Kimura.
Oh, I think it was Holly.
It might have been Holly. It was underneath him and got him in a Kimura, and the ref saw it and counted him out. But it was like, yeah, motherfucker, you're good at this, but if you ever fucking step to me, I will break your goddamn arm. Yeah,
that may have been Bob Holly.
Speaking of, I'm going to go on another aside here. Went over to my friend Ryan's last week to watch the rematch.
Oh,
saw dear. The rematch happen. Like, first off, watched Ronda Rousey with that. I can't remember her name, but she's pretty. The one Rousey beat was pretty. But George St. Pierre is fighting, I think it's Weidman. I think that's his name. And is throwing these leg kicks. And Weidman blocked one and snapped his shin in half.
Yeah.
I saw it happen. I saw the guy's foot, the guy's leg wrap around the other dude's leg. And then he hit the ground. It was like, and I like, we were all there like, holy shit, we just witnessed Anderson Silva's career end.
Yeah.
You don't come back from that. And if you do, you're never going to throw a kick that hard again. Ever. He broke his own leg. He kicked someone hard enough to break his own leg.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah. That's going to sting.
That's awful. Yeah. Oh, brr.
Didn't see that one coming, did you, Rogan?
That was a surprise. That was a fucking stunner.
What?
Oh, man. So let's talk through some more musicians here.
Oh, there are plenty.
Frank Sinatra.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He got over.
An Academy Award winning actor who is still to this day the basis of, as anyone who doesn't know, Fontaine in The Godfather.
Yes.
Based on Sinatra.
What do I do? What do I do?
You're going to act like a man.
Bing Baby Shoulders Crosby.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't see a lot of Bing Crosby. With a shirt off, but you do see him in a wife beater or
a child beater,
and allegedly, in my opinion, in White Christmas.
Uh-huh.
When he takes those shoulder pads off, boy, he looks like a bobblehead doll, straight up baby shoulders, shoulders that you and I could never even conceive of.
No,
wide shouldered gentleman.
Yes.
What is wrong with you? Mm-hmm. Look at you.
Yeah.
Look at you, little bird.
Yep.
Don't you know you can fly?
And what's funny is...
And his head is huge.
Last week when I gave you the shirt that's my size, you realized how my shoulders are...
I realized before, man. I've known you for 20 years.
Yeah.
But I just realized
You knew me back when I was baby shouldered.
You weren't baby shouldered.
Yeah.
You were just gaunt.
Just gaunt.
You were still wide.
Yeah, that's true.
Shoulders. No. This guy has...
Baby shoulders.
That's just built like an upside down ice cream cone.
Oh.
With a big head on it. Which is a strange image.
That's very sad to hear. Very sad to hear. Did you know that Madonna Louise, fake British Ciccone?
She's not fake.
No, not at all. No. There's something so sad about hearing an adult who's affecting an accent. Like, oh man, you really are pretty insecure.
She is crazy.
And I think the only movie she was in that she was good in was Evita.
Ooh.
She was fine in it.
I don't know.
So there's that, yes. Elvis Aaron Presley.
Oh, yes.
Wait, no, he's only got one A in his name, doesn't he? I think he's only Aaron.
Yes, Aaron.
He's got that odd spelling. Yeah, Elvis Aaron Presley.
Absolutely.
Speaking of, never made a good movie. I mean, hell. If I got to make movies and bang Anne Margaret back in those days...
I'd do it, too. No problem. Yeah. I'll do it now.
Where do I sign up?
It's no problem.
Yeah. Will Smith.
And Will Smith. Ludacris.
Ludacris, yeah. Chris Bridges. I just know him as Chris Bridges.
I like Ludacris' style of movies. Oh, it's fine. I'll play an elf.
Yeah, I'll play an elf. I don't give a... Crash? Sure.
Sure.
Okay. Fast and Furious? Why the fuck not?
Sure.
Yeah, I'll do that.
You know. I don't care about acting. It's no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I can do it. I like Mariah Carey. Oh, dear.
Goddamn glitter. I watched that
glitter, butterfly, glitter. Oh my.
I watched Glitter with Riff Track. Oh Lord.
You kind of have to.
Yeah, yeah. It's unwatchable without it. It's absolutely unwatchable without it.
It says Beyonce on my list. Where is she acted?
Goldmember.
Oh.
Dreamgirls, but that's singing. So that doesn't really count. Oh, she was in some movie with Idris Elba.
Oh.
Shut up! Oh my God, I don't care!
Wow, harsh on Idris.
Yeah, yeah. So there. Melvin A. Day.
Yes.
Yes. Meatloaf.
Meatloaf, yeah.
He was terrible in the movie Formula 51.
Well,
but then everything was terrible in the movie Formula 51.
You're going to drain my picks next week.
Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, no one saw that one coming.
Yeah, it really was surprising. They wanted him to be a cast member of Saturday Night Live for a year, but I think he was like, no.
No, no, no. It's so much more special if I just show up every once in a while.
Yeah.
And it is. The guy's really down for anything.
I would want to be a cast member. If I could do it for 1 year, even if I was that level of famous, to be like, shit, you mean I'd be part of that club forever? I might fucking...
Yeah, I do. I would.
I'd take it for a year. Shit, yeah. Courtney Love, but she was really only in like one or two things.
What was the second one?
All I know is People versus Larry Flint.
Oh, Man on the Moon.
Man on the Moon and People. So there we got two.
That's not bad.
Both of those are Milos Forman.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a big shitting deal.
Well, she didn't do a bad job.
No, she wasn't bad. She was all right. She was all right. She's just
good for you, Courtney Love.
She's just so crazy.
Yeah, there's that. But I'd rather watch those two movies than anything with Mandy Moore.
Well, yeah. That's
or Sean Combs. Where the hell did he act?
He was in Maid. He played the Jean Favreau and Vince Vaughn.
That's right.
I don't know what kind of fucking world you come from. But speaking of rappers who are really good actors that I like, Most Def.
Mm-hmm.
Because that motherfucker couldn't be more Brooklyn laid back if he tried. He's got that really laid back New York accent. But he's also somebody that I like because the shit that he did rap wise was that real, you know, fucking think and take goddamn responsibility for yourself kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Does Tom Waits count in this?
Oh, yes. Yes, he does.
It's goddamn well he should.
You'd think. Gilliam directing Tom Waits as the devil would be a blockbuster.
Yeah.
For
was that Imaginarian of Dr. Parnassus? Yeah.
First off,
the name alone turns people off because all I hear that name is the pretension of Dr. Pretentiousness.
Oh, you're talking about the hipster dish.
Yeah. Hipster.
Will you let me finish? You never let me finish.
Why are you screaming this in the back of Uncommon Objects? Which I enjoy.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, just didn't.
Eminem, who saw that coming?
Yeah, dude. Fucking 8 Mile, I still maintain, is one of the... That's so fucking good.
The Hip Hop Witch.
Wait. What?
The Hip Hop Witch.
Goodbye, mailbox.
I don't understand what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
There's a movie called The Hip Hop Witch.
Duh. Hip Hop Witch.
Hip Hop Witch.
Yeah. And 8 Mile Be Damned.
8 Mile Be Damned, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Yeah.
Eight Mile, though, is a good movie. Damned or not. I'm not even discussing that with you right now. I don't have the time or the inclination to sit here and discuss that with you, sir. So there. Now, question. I'm going to jump to athletes here.
Mm-hmm.
Is a bodybuilder really an athlete?
That depends.
Yeah.
If they're in the room.
If they're in the room, then yes, they are. But to quote...
I wouldn't ask Lee Haney that.
Yeah, neither would I. But to quote Danny McBride as fucking... what's his... Oh, God, how have I forgot his name already? From Eastbound and Down.
Seymour Butts.
Kenny fucking Powers.
Oh, okay.
I play real sports. I don't look to see who's best at exercising. I'm doing a marathon this weekend. You want to go? No, man. I play real sports. I don't... Wow. Bodybuilding, yes, it is a sport. And it's a hard as fuck sport because it's wildly disciplined and you've got to be on your shit all the way through.
Yeah.
Therefore, Lou Ferrigno and Arnold Schwarzenegger both count in this
category. So can you believe how much I am in heaven? I'm like getting the feeling of coming in the gym. I'm getting the feeling of coming at home. I'm getting the feeling of coming backstage when I pump up, when I pose out in front of 5,000 people. I get the same feeling. So I'm coming day and night. I mean, it's terrific, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Ferrigno, that dude was crazy. The best line from I Love You, Man is when Jason Segel rolls up on Lou Ferrigno talking shit. Ferrigno gets him in a chokehold and he's so strong.
Arnold has bounced back a little bit through proper exercise, diet, and science.
Yeah.
And Lou kind of never lost it.
Yeah, Lou never lost it.
Spooky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very well, it's because Lou was just working it the whole time. Jesus. Dude, this new Arnold movie, I don't know what it's called, but it's the one where he's like the DEA guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's got the chick from The Killing in it, and I don't care what anyone says, I think she is hot.
She's a pretty girl.
I think she is fucking hot.
Yeah, what's it called?
I'll look it up, because why not? Why shouldn't I? We've got technology.
He plays someone named Breacher or something.
Something like that. It's
I can't remember.
I'll find it here. Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he has got in his all filmography. It's not Escape Plan.
No,
it's not The Last Stand. How the fuck is it not listed here? Sabotage.
Is it
Sabotage?
Sabotage.
Yes. Sabotage. Don't correct me. It sickens me. Sabotage. And it's got that
sabotage.
It's got that guy Joe Manganiello in it. From
True Blood, guy. Yeah.
Did you see that they found a picture of him in middle school, like on his basketball team, and it's just he looks like me except with big fucking glasses on and like skinny arms. It's really kind of touching. Like, oh wow, you were ugly as shit. Now fuck, you are a God chiseled out of marble, son. When did that happen?
On True Blood, just walking down the streets of L.A.
If
hanging off of you, ornaments.
Yeah, if I looked like that, I would never wear a shirt. Ever. Not to work, not to fucking grocery store. I'd just be shirtless constantly, and nobody'd say anything because they'd be like, well, good job, sir.
What?
Dan Marino should die of gonorrhea and rot in hell.
I don't know why that one came up, but there. But yes, yeah, so Arnold and, yeah, that motherfucker never stopped being big, Mr. Lou Ferrigno.
No.
Oh, did you hear that Orangehall James Simpson is saying that he's got cancer and would like a compassionate release so that he could die at home? Evidently, that...
Barbaric.
It is. It's very barbaric. I know. That's one that still strikes me as funny. First off, let's discuss OJ a little bit here. He was good as the Wile E. Coyote Norberg in the Naked Gun movies.
Yes.
Was going to play the Terminator, but who would believe him as a villain? Specifically a killer.
Yeah. From the future.
He's one that interests me, though, because it's like he got acquitted. Whatever you feel. And from then on, it was like, we got to find a reason to bust this motherfucker. There's got to be something we can do. Because honestly, the shit that he's gone to jail for, any other world, I don't think that would happen. No. Do you think they have him in segregation? Do you think they have him in Gen Pop or in his own little area?
I would think he has his own little area.
Yeah, I was going to say, because putting that man in Gen Pop, that doesn't end well. Because how many people would be like, I'd like to have a piece of OJ. Let's do this.
Let's see.
But yeah, OJ was one that had it for a little bit, and then it kind of, he kind of stabbed that fucking flame.
Yes, he did.
Yes, stabbed a flame.
Unlike Bubba Smith.
Bubba.
Whose flame burns on.
It does. It does.
Police Academy series of films.
Yeah. Oh man, he was great in that. What's funny is looking at him, is I'm about his size now. I'm not as built.
Right.
But I'm not, I am a year of working out away from being able to be almost there. So I can recognize that shit where it's like, yeah, I want to remove the front seat of some cars and drive them from the back. That seems like it would be easier for me. An Eclipse, I could drive from the back seat. Why don't I do that? Jim Brown as well. Yep, we will never forget his appearance in The Dirty Dozen. Have you ever heard Joe Rogan talk about Jim Brown?
No.
So funny because he's like, he talked about when Jim Brown used to call for the UFC, and it was like, oh, it was fantastic because it was just like, he had no mixed martial art experience, but was like 160-0 in bare knuckled domestic squabbles. Like, right now he's looking to tap out. Yeah, that's a luxury my wife back in 1973 did not have. I told that bitch you could talk all the shit you want. Better recognize there ain't no fucking referee in my living room. Now he is in the mount position. At this moment, I would be looking around for a blunt object like a lamp or a trophy. It was fucking great. But yeah, he popped up in a couple of things. That dude's scary.
Yeah.
Because you know what's weird? He's in three different Hall of Fames, three different sports Hall of Fame: college football, pro football, and college lacrosse. Evidently, he was just Yikes. A badass lacrosse player.
Holy hell.
Imagine Jim Brown running at you.
No. Especially in lacrosse back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, whoa. I mean,
like, the rule was just don't kill anyone. Jim, you in particular, don't kill anyone. Richard Pryor joking about Jim Brown was so great. It's like you see him get hit and he's like, okay, motherfucker, that's another 5 yards. Okay. That dude averaged, what, 5.6 yards per carry? That man on his career, on average, if you hand him the ball twice, it's a first down.
That's right.
Jesus. That is crazy.
While we're on the subject of football.
Fred Williamson, the hammer.
There's that.
Yeah.
There's also the Boz.
The Boz. Oh.
Grown-up version of Bam Bam.
Hey. Brian Bosworth is an American treasure.
If only he hadn't gone to Oklahoma. There's one of his movies he was in that had Alexander Payne as the bad guy. Mm. I say bad guy, but he was really more of the bad girl because he had giant feathery Coverdale bangs and was wearing like big 80s shoulder pads and shit. It was fucking awesome. And he's like driving at one point actually singing Boomer Sooner, and I just felt wrong.
Yeah.
Everything about it felt fucking wrong.
If you're out there and you haven't seen Stone Cold, the movie with Brian Bosworth,
do yourself a favor.
It is a beautiful film. It stars one of my personal favorites, Lance Henriksen, as the heavy, and Brian Bosworth's mullet.
Yes. And
it steals the show. Just when you
genuinely
think
does,
it can't get any more perfect than that. Then there's a scene where he has to go to a fancy bar, not a biker bar.
Yeah.
So he dresses up like a bouncer. And combs it back just so. Holy shit. Mm-hmm. It looks like a GoBot. It's amazing. It's perfectly shaped.
Oh, man.
What
floors me really in looking at Stone Cold is that is a testament to writers just going, oof, does anyone care?
No.
Because as you pointed out, as a cop, he fails.
It's terrible. Terrible.
Unequivocally, he fails. He not only does he fail to do his primary task, which is save the judge, it's arguable that had he not been there at all, many fewer people would have died.
He was supposed to just protect the district attorney that was prosecuting the member of the Brotherhood that decided to shoot a priest for no reason in the middle of a wedding.
In the middle of a wedding in a black box, there's Trouble Owens.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's a great.
Trouble Owens goes
so
in.
So he goes in to crack the whip, and he kills not just the whip, but the entire Supreme Court of Alabama.
You know, at a moment like this, I think of my father's last words, which were, "Don't, son, that gun is loaded."
That's a lot of people dying.
It only would have been better if he said, "Reminds me of my father's last words, roll damn tide."
And that is only one that was one of Chains Cooper's lines that actually makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Before that, before he kills the actual
Supreme Court,
he dressed as a priest, takes a machine gun that's taped at the bottom of the seat that they planted earlier, and points it in the back of some random guy in the court and says, "This time it's for real, asshole." What?
Why not? Yes.
So anyway. Chains Cooper makes some crazy, crazy statements.
Yeah, well, everything.
And this being the craziest one. This makes no sense. If you can figure it out, call
512-666-RAN
and explain it to me.
They say that the devil was a rebel angel. So they kicked him out of heaven.
Okay.
If you want to fuck with the living, you got to learn to fuck with the dead.
What? I got the first part.
Yeah.
I've got a pretty good grasp on my theology when it comes to that.
Yes. Fuck. That doesn't make sense. It sounds as though he had no idea what he was going to say.
I think you're wrong there.
Chill out, man.
I'm just saying.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, it's good to know.
Yeah.
You know who was another football player who made himself quite an actor is Carl Weathers.
That's true.
Yes. Or as Stallone called him, Apollo Greed. Because I'm sorry, Apollo Creed's a fucking interesting character. I love that dude. I fucking love him. Alex Karras and Merlin Olsen. I just like putting them together. First off, the guy's name is Merlin.
Merlin.
I love that.
In Mitchell.
Mitchell. Oh, mm-hmm. God, yeah. He was fucking great in Mitchell.
And Alex Karras as Mongo.
Mongo. And, or I say, I always think of him as Webster's adopted dad. That movie where he bought that black child and they let him for some reason.
I don't want to do war.
I don't want to do war. Do war. It sounds like my nephew, my 3-year-old nephew.
Man, it's not far off.
Well, Jimmy broke my heart. He broke my heart.
Another football player who bounced around a few teams before realizing that I'm more badass than this.
Mm.
Terry Crews.
Oh, Terry Crews. Yeah. Lord. He is so fucking good.
So I'll give you a magic elixir so you can have the physique of anyone on the planet. What would you choose? Terry Crews.
Yeah. Terry Crews. Yep. Yep.
Terry Crews. I'm on the red carpet. Check this out.
Yeah. Yep.
That's right.
Have you seen him in Brooklyn Nine-Nine yet?
No.
He is the high point of that show. If you've got a Hulu, check it out. Because there's a bit where he's not getting any sleep because his brother-in-law is in town and he doesn't like going home because his brother-in-law is like 7'2". And like, it shows him taking out a jar of pickles and his brother-in-law reaches over the fridge. He's like, let me open that for you. Tiny Terry loves his pickles. But they showed him fall asleep doing pull-ups.
Of course.
From mess of memory alone, I did 30 more. He's fucking great in it.
He's awesome.
Yeah, Tiny Terry loves his pickles, and he's like, well, this is my desk. Desk jockey, huh? Sit around here eating your pickles, waiting for the criminals to turn themselves in. Yeah, Terry Crews. Yeah. I would take Terry Crews' physique over any of them. Fucking Rosie Grier.
Yes.
Totally over him from The Thing with Two Heads.
That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Fred Dreyer, the only player to ever record 2 safeties in 1 game.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
The more you know. How about Howard Long?
Oh, yes. Firestorm. I'm going to put that up on our Facebook page later on. The poster, our front cover of Firestorm, is worth it just for that. Because the expression on his face, that's the one they went with.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just looks... It looks like Firestorm's have a question mark at the end.
Yeah, Firestorm.
Firestorm?
Really? See, what's weird is he's one of those people who's like Bill Cowan. When he smiles, I don't know what to make of it because I'm used to seeing him angry on the field. But he genuinely.
Oh, Bill Cower?
Cower, yeah. Bill
yeah.
Cowan.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Because they just look mad all the time. So when they smile, it's like, I don't.
It's like evil Terry Bradshaw when he grows a goatee.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What are you doing? You're going to kill somebody, aren't you? You are.
Did you know that Terry Bradshaw, he went to LSU?
Yeah.
I believe. He was on a, you know who he was on the football team with when
yes,
he started
I do.
Out?
Mr. Phil Robertson.
Yeah, and Terry was benching it while Phil was starting.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know why Phil quit playing football?
To go chase those ducks.
Yeah, got in the way of his duck hunting, so he's like, done.
Hey, it's the thing I would want for my grandkids if they grow up to be nerds.
Y'all might ought to go by Walmart and pick you up a personality, you reckon?
Move on, nerds.
I want to be Phil Robertson when I grow up.
Yeah. Yeah, just not give a shit. Oh, my God, that's terrible. Why do you hate everyone who's not like you? That's awful.
Shut up. We're all nerds.
Yes. I don't like what Phil said, but I like what Voltaire said a lot more.
Yeah.
So let's all calm the fuck down and stop pretending like what he said fucking matters.
Exactly.
Did you liked my post that whole week? Where?
Hear me!
And in other news.
Yes.
Money. Because that's all it's fucking about. And when that show comes back, holy shit. Because
the rumor is he wants to get together, pissed him off good and plenty,
mm-hmm.
just take the whole shooting match and move it to a Christian broadcasting network.
Yeah.
First of all, that'll be more money than CBN or TBN or whatever they're
He's
called.
He's on A&E.
Whoa,
yeah.
Whatever. Well, that station has ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
And the most money that A&E will have ever lost in one chunk,
yep.
as far as I know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's the highest-rated show in cable television
million
history.
Viewers.
Yeah.
Oh, my. My.
Yeah. And what he is what the network has never experienced before. A wildly successful TV star who doesn't give a fuck about the show. Nobody on that show cares about it. They make like $1.5 million per year
yeah.
off that show. Their business nets them $40 million yeah. a year.
They don't
give a shit. And all that this has done is increase their value.
It's not an idiot. He has a master's degree in education.
He does?
Yes.
Holy shit. I did not know that.
Dumb. You know? Really not.
There was a cracked article today that just shut me off where it was like, they were talking about like how A&E is becoming Walmart.
Oh,
and it's just
this
whole like above this line. And it's the most up your own ass article I've ever read. Here's the thing. How much of Duck Dynasty have I seen in my life?
Mm.
None.
Right.
I have seen the clips that are on the soup. Mm-hmm. How much Duck Dynasty am I going to watch after this?
None.
None. I don't care. I don't like scripted reality shows. It's stupid. Mm-hmm. I don't give a fuck what these people do. But more importantly, I don't give a fuck what these people do. So
there you go.
Whatever you say doesn't bother me at all. Somebody likes to watch it. Okay, fine. You watch it. But I'm not. If you're going to do that, then when Bill Maher makes fun of Sarah Palin's retarded child, you are tacit. If you're saying that A&E having them on there is an endorsement, or if you like it, that's an endorsement. You are saying it's okay to make fun of a baby
yeah.
that has mental retardation. If that's the logic you are following, okay? I don't like Bill Maher because I think he's a douche. I have never seen a face that I want to punch as bad as his. And he seems like he can be a nice guy. There's yeah. something about his face. And if you can look at Bill Maher's face and not want to throw a punch at it, then you're far more... like. When you see Bill Maher's face, what do you want to do?
Punch it.
Punch it. And most of you now, you're going to look at him and be like, yeah, I kind of want to punch him in the mm-hmm. fucking face. Mm-hmm. I won't. And if I met him, I'd probably like him. But
no.
The minute that the fucking guy shows up in the Steve Irwin outfit for Halloween a month after the guy dies, okay, you're that guy.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I am not saying whether it's right or wrong. I'm talking about consistency. Yeah. It was like the argument that I got into with the guy at work when he talked about Jon Stewart making comments about income inequality. Okay. As long as he is getting paid $80 a day, which is the same as an extra would get paid on that show, I totally back you up. But if you're not, then you don't have a fucking, you do not have room to talk.
No.
Because you're inconsistent. You're getting millions of dollars while somebody is barely getting paid enough to live off of. You are contributing to it. Be consistent.
And it's jukebox politics.
It is.
It's a song that's on now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't remember you talking about this before. As a matter of fact, I don't remember anybody talking about this before.
Nope.
Not in the mainstream anyway.
No, uh-uh. No.
It's always been in the
hinterlands. Because nobody gives a fuck about it in the mainstream.
What? But like, now all of a sudden that's an issue.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they're trying.
Is it? Well, let's have a conversation about it.
Yeah.
Don't just tell me this is important and we've all decided it is. And if you don't believe so, then... Not you just disagree.
Yeah.
Then you want to kick a poor child in the mouth.
Yeah, yeah. Because I'll go the opposite with that, where it's like, you know, yeah, you don't like what Phil Robinson said, so you think he should be fired. Okay, so anyone who gives an opinion off air that you don't agree with, you will boycott the network to get them fired. And you are opening up a whole realm. The thing about free speech is you got to be willing to put up with a lot of shit for it. I won't protest the network because I'm like, dude, they're trying to make money. They're putting this out there. Who fucking cares? You know, they're not speaking for the company. The company realizes we're going to make a shitload of money. Look at what happened with Cracker Barrel.
Yeah.
The Cracker Barrel thing, I loved that because they forgot who they were.
Right.
We're no longer going to carry this stuff. And everyone's like, fuck you then. Okay, we're sorry. We're sorry. Hey, we misjudged. At least they stepped back and said, we misjudged. But if you're going to castigate him for this, if you're going to yell and scream about that, then you need to be consistent. That is all I've ever said on that. Right. Be outraged. If you were not screaming that MSNBC should have fired Alec Baldwin, then you need to shut the fuck up.
I'll have the waffle fries.
Yes. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I like what you did there.
Thank you.
And a handful of people got it.
Yeah.
Some didn't.
Maybe.
And who cares?
But let's get back to acting.
What?
Terry Bollea.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan.
You fans can
stick it, brother. Well, brother. I like you in Rocky III.
Yeah, yeah. You fans can
stick it, brother. Look, your other movies weren't very good.
No. You fans can stick it, brother. You know, now, see, I'm amazed that you talk about Terry Bollea as an actor and you don't have the greatest line ever uttered. Dookie. You fans can stick it, brother. Dookie.
That's true.
I actually one of the woman, one like the younger woman in No Holds Bar, was Christy Fletcher, was actually a newscaster at KI-42 when I worked there.
Wow.
I know.
Nice.
I know. I had no memory of her because I only saw that movie once. I was like, I am good.
I'm sorry. I'm a big Zeus fan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember you.
That dude's my height. Huge. Tiny Zeus Lester. Seems like a probably like the nicest dude in the world if you actually talk to him. He's just looks like that. Bob Uecker is evidently the funniest person in the world.
Just love Bob Uecker.
If you've like look up Artie Lang or Norm Macdonald talking about Bob Uecker, because they're like, he is the funniest fucking person in the world.
Just a bit outside.
Like, got John Fogerty down there. I should get him up here to talk to you. Like, no, that's okay. You don't like him? Well, you know, you might know him as some guy who bites the heads off of bats, but he can get up and down out of a sand trap like nobody's business. It's John Fogerty. No one thinks he bites heads off of... But yes, thank you, Mr. Uecker. Yeah.
He's awesome.
Oh, man. Terry Bradshaw acted some. Gina Carano.
What was she do?
She was in Collateral. And in the last Fast and Furious movie. She is tiny.
Really?
And she's like solidly built too, which is awesome. Jason Lee was a professional skateboarder.
Yeah, he's so been not a professional skateboarder for so long.
Yeah.
I ruled him out.
Yeah, yeah.
Not taking away from your sport, Jason.
Yeah. Just,
whatever.
What about Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
He's the one. The chosen one of the professional wrestling world.
And boy, he went over huge. And I think part of it is first off, his personality in the WWE, people fucking loved him.
Oh, yeah.
He had that charisma. And I mean, the fact that he nicknamed himself the most exciting man in sports entertainment, and people were like, yes.
Most electrifying.
The most electrifying man. Yeah.
Yeah.
His Saturday Night Live was fucking epic.
Yes.
Nick Cottrell is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
He's awesome.
And did you see where he played? You remember the little monkey character that he did?
Yeah.
And he played Chris Kattan's father and
sit on top of the desk.
Went for it. Mm-hmm. And that was the moment I was like, this guy's going to fucking make it. His Twitter feed is amazing.
Oh, yeah, I follow him.
Have you seen the picture of him with Shaq and Charles Barkley?
Yes.
It's hilarious because you're like, God damn, The Rock is the biggest man in the world. And then you look at that, it's like, my God, The Rock is so tiny.
You should see the picture of Arnold Schwarzenegger with Wilt Chamberlain and Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
What? It looks like you and I with arms around VJ.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What's funny is there's a picture that he posted, that Dwayne posted on Twitter, of him as a little kid with Andre the Giant. And he was like, I never understood what the big deal was. He was always just Uncle Andre.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, because his dad was a wrestler. Mm-hmm. He actually popped up on that 70s show playing his dad.
Yeah.
Once.
Rocky it was a very Johnson. Small,
Rocky Johnson. But yeah, he's one of those guys that I don't begrudge. I'm not like, oh, that. Because he genuinely seems to walk the walk. He puts his money where his mouth is and is a genuinely fucking decent guy. And busted his ass. You've seen the epic cheat meal, right?
Oh, yes.
That was 6 months without carbs. Did you see he posted the video of the competitive eater who did his epic cheat day in an hour?
No.
12 massive chocolate chip pancakes that were so big that they had small those little Reese's Minis in them. Yeah.
Pizza cone. That's all I got to say.
Mm-hmm. And just from there, 12 pizzas.
How did it go, man?
It went well.
You know, Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
He won the world like karate championship without giving up a point.
Wow.
Yeah. Wrap your head around that. Without giving up a point.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is serious.
He slapped the shit out of some people. Like, embarrassingly. Speaking of slapping the shit out of people.
Dwight Yoakam?
Yes.
Oh.
What about Shaq?
Oh, I've got a little. I've got a lot of Shaq going
You do?
On.
You want to fight, come fight me. I hit you with the wild. See, I get dirty at the dark. I treat you like Spielberg. You get your ass to get in the park. I love what Jimmy Kimmel said about him rapping. You can barely talk. although technically he's Dr. O'Neill.
That's right.
Yeah, PhD in education.
That's right. Good you for and him. Phil Robertson.
Yeah.
Well
yeah.
done. Well, actually, more.
Yes. Yes, more so.
More so.
Bruce Jenner.
Yes.
Well, does he really count as a person anymore?
No, not really.
Yeah.
No, not really.
And did Kareem ever really count as an actor since he was only in those Zucker Brothers things? And Game and of Death.
Game of Death. Yeah. Yeah. Don't discount his work in Game of Death.
Never.
Never again.
I really liked Ray Allen in, what's it called? Fucking He Got Game. I like that movie a lot. Got some
Jesse Ventura.
Jesse Ventura, yeah. That is right.
We're my favorite.
We're just going to look at some experiences. I am Kevin from The Office. Yes. Did you know that you cannot demolish steel with an airplane? Sure. He enunciates a lot.
Yes, he does.
I have some stand-up comedians as well.
Oh, yeah?
Like Louis C.K.
Yes.
That dude, his stand-up pisses me off. He makes it look so fucking easy.
Well,
and when you listen to people talk about Louis developing his stand-up style, it took like a year of dying on stage.
When he came up with the new stuff, because apparently his earlier stuff was just
wacky. Yeah, it was like wacky shit. And then one day he was like, no, this is who I'm going to be. And it was like his show, Louis. The first season is like, okay, I'm not really sure you're aiming for something here. And in like the last four episodes of the last season, fucking nailed it. I cannot implore you enough to watch The Late Show. There's a three-part episode called The Late Show that I don't know if I can say the best. It was the best sitcom shit that was on last year. It's close to the best television that was on last year. Oh, wow. And I say that with full knowledge of Breaking Bad. It was almost better than Breaking Bad. That three episodes is so fucking good. Awesome. So Louis C.K., definitely. Patton Oswalt has been acquitting himself as an actor pretty fucking well for a while.
That's what I hear.
Big fan. Young adult was awful because I didn't give a fuck about the main character because Diablo Cody's not good at creating characters that are real. So there's that.
Chill out, man.
You know, Billy Crystal was a stand-up originally.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
As was Larry David.
But that's the rumor. That's the rumor. That's Billy Crystal, not Larry David.
Oh, yeah. There was an interview with him where they gave the opening of his old stand-up routine. He was like, every day I wake up happy that I'm not a wealthy Spanish landowner because I wouldn't know whether to use to or usted when talking to my help. Because if I used to, I didn't want to feel like I'm condescending. If I used usted, I didn't want to feel like I'm being condescending. But if I used to, I don't want them to get too comfortable and think that they could just, you know, take some food out of the fridge, take a nap on the couch. Like, that is Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yes, yes.
Actually, what Phil Rosenthal said, everything Larry David says is an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. He's like, I walked up to him in a party. I said, hey, how you doing? He goes, you think I could spit my gum in the fire?
That would be an episode. Like,
there's an episode. Eddie Izzard, Jamie Foxx.
Of course.
Billy Connolly. Tim Allen. He was a decent enough stand-up once upon a time.
Yeah, he was. I remember seeing him for the first time on like a Rodney Dangerfield
special. Yeah, Young Comedian special. Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember that shit. Steve Martin.
Yeah.
Walked away because he got too fucking successful. James Carey.
Yeah.
You want to talk about weird fucking stand-up.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Jim Carrey's stand-up was
weird.
Fucking bizarre.
My favorite of all these singers on my list would be David Bowie.
Yeah, yeah.
Not just for the large-crotched Goblin King in Labyrinth, which you see a lot of.
Literally, to me, it's all about Zoolander.
It is Zoolander.
That
but
moment
my
of Zoolander is where
his,
it's fucking at.
And I scratched my head when I first heard about it, but when he comes walking out as Nikola Tesla in The Prestige.
Oh, yeah.
I was like,
well, the thing is that he didn't even know they were filming. That's how Bowie enters the room.
Oh.
He has a crew that comes with him with the lightning, and then he just walks out of it. But yeah, in Zoolander, when he pops up between them, perhaps I could be of assistance. And you get the let's dance of that. The only better, what is a better cameo in that, him or Billy Zane?
David Bowie.
Because Billy Zane's is fucking hilarious just because they always refer to him
as
Billy Zane.
Got no problem with Billy Zane. Billy Zane would agree with me.
Yeah, he's crazy limber. He's got moves.
It's David Bowie.
But just sitting there writing on his hand. Although, actually, I almost feel like that's how David Bowie enters the room. Perhaps I could be of assistance. Probably. And then Let's Dance. There was actually somebody wrote about meeting David Bowie. He was like, I was on an elevator with him and an old lady got on and she's like, I recognize you from somewhere. And he's like, well, yeah. And she goes, no, you're on this soap opera. I forgot what it was. And he goes, yes, thank you so much for watching. We really appreciate it. She left and they looked at each other and fell over laughing.
That's nice.
For somebody like Bowie to have a person be like, you're an actor. You're in that local soap opera. Like, you don't fuck yes. Yes, that's who.
Yes, I am. It's like Stephen King when he was confused with Francis Coppola. Uh-huh. And he signed the guy's autograph anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Art autograph on a piece of paper.
Right.
That is awesome.
It's fantastic.
Fantastic.
Fantastico. Zach Galifianakis is not a bad actor, but he's very limited in what he can play.
Yeah, well, is he?
I don't know.
He just keeps limiting himself.
Yeah, he keeps getting cast in the same part.
Mint.
Over and over again.
The fucking check's clear.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Fuck, don't get me wrong. I'd play the exact same character in every fucking movie if the checks were clearing. Yeah. I'm not going to hide that. I will sell out. Hell, we'll sell out.
Oh, yeah. Anytime. What you got?
You have a product you want pushed? Send us a number. We'll do that, dude.
It's not a problem.
Yeah.
Really isn't. Mm-hmm. And your product will go out to dozens of people.
Literally dozens of people.
Mm-hmm. 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 You'll love it.
Yeah, so there it is.
Paula Deen. That's right. That is the Val Kilmer was Batman of this subject.
Really?
Paula Deen was in a movie.
What movie?
Elizabethtown.
She was in Elizabethtown?
Yeah. See?
I saw that once when it was new. Was it a big part?
Not necessarily, but it wasn't just a walk-on or...
Right.
It was like a part.
Okay.
Hmm. Like a nana or an auntie or a mom or a mama auntie. Mama nana. Something. She had multiple lines, like SAG member.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's...
Paula Deen.
Wow. That is the Val Kilmer of... Huh?
You'll forget about it. This will be like The Silence.
Yeah.
Later on.
Yeah, I'll watch it and be like, Elizabethtown's one of those movies I have a complicated relationship with because it is so close to being Cameron Crowe's best movie.
Yeah, about two drafts away.
Yeah. It just didn't fucking land. And that, it kills me because it could have been awesome. That intro footage that he put online with Elton John's My Father's Gun, I looked at that like this is the, it gave me an idea for a script that I still want to work on that I think could be good. And I've told you about it multiple times.
And you could, and it'll be fine and work because that one failed too.
It really did. It genuinely did. You got anything else there that's worth the mention? Mel Brooks started out as a stand-up.
I'll use my final one to end the show on.
Yes.
With just a sound drop.
Mm-hmm.
And let the people at home decide.
Okay, so we'll do that. So let's run through all of our plugs. This is the kind of high-quality plug you can get if you are looking to sponsor us. Say, Clarkson, do you like shirts?
I do.
Do you like the shirt that I am currently wearing?
I do.
You can buy shirts such as this one for $11 at T Fury.
Really?
Yes, and the best way to do that, if you can't remember T Fury, remember the Film Thugs and go to our website and click on the link and go through and buy it there. Do you like working out?
I do.
Do you like buying equipment to work out with?
Usually.
Yes? Well, you can do that through our website by going to onnit.com through one of our links. Do you like buying everything?
Savage. Yes, I do.
Yes. Well, Amazon sells everything, and you can get to that through us. See, this is quality, motherfuckers.
It is.
Didn't even write this copy. We're mm-hmm. fucking top of the head here.
Sorry, I'm going to keep the energy up.
Check that out. Email us at thefilmthugs@gmail.com. Visit thefilmthugs.com for all of this shit. Send something to thugquestions@gmail.com. Do you remember when we just had an email address?
Yes.
We didn't even have a fucking Facebook page when we started. We've got thugquestions@gmail.com for an upcoming show where we won't know what they are until we hear them. And what the fuck else? Facebook, Skype. Twitter, Skype, the_film_thugs. Is there anything else?
I have come here to chew bubble gum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubble gum.